Hello, everyone, and welcome back to A Candle or the Night, a Star Wars Force and Destiny adventure. We are playing a Star Wars role-playing game in the Fantasy Flight Games Force and Destiny game system. This is episode 4. I'd like to take a moment to kind of give you an update, general news. This will be the last episode posted for about 2 weeks because some of us are going to be in Anaheim coming up shortly for BlizzCon. So I am taking off to go to Chicago first for a work conference and then straight to LA and Anaheim afterwards. Actually, Jensa and Victor will be there as well. So should any of you happen to be at BlizzCon, Blizzard's annual conference and convention, definitely look us up. You can actually message us on our show's Twitter. You can find that on our website, www.candleorthenight.com. There's a link to our Twitter. Please shoot us a message if you're going to be there. We'd love to say hi. I'd also like to remind everyone that if you have any comments or feedback, we welcome them. Feel free to shoot us an email at feedback@candleorthenight.com. So without further ado, let us continue to our next installment of A Candle or the Night. Okay, let's start this session with our recap from last time. So last time on session number 3, the party decides to help Hornaday find his friend Gilly. Blood tracks from the speeder led down a northern pass in the canyon. The party discovered the chittering sounds were created by large alien insects, which appear to be some kind of large desert mite. Their behavior indicated a hive mind, as they all seemed to swarm towards a single cave entrance in a clearing in the canyon. Jensa and Gran used her micro-binoculars to survey the scene. Although Tyrus attempted to use stealth to approach the cave from the side, his attempt was noticed by some of the hive drones who immediately sprung to attack. Surprised by the drones, Tyrus was disarmed and knocked prone. His companion successfully dispatched the threat. It was discovered that Gilly seemed to be inside the cave and swarms of insects were attempting to overrun his position. The party fought its way valiantly to the cave, dispatching at least a dozen drones, as well as a crimson flying insect, which proved to be a more formidable enemy called a hive tender. These threatening creatures served to direct the drones and have a lethal venomous spine attack, which clearly was what killed the poor human on the speeder. Upon fighting their way into the cave, Gilly was noted to be injured and was making a last stand using a loud and lethal plasma blunderbust cannon. The party found another group of drones in the cave, which Gran readily dispatched with a frag grenade. Gleeful at the opportunity to make use of his wares, he is quick to point out he can happily sell similar weaponry to the party should they make it to Duskin's Cove. While the party was dispatching the last of the flying hive tenders, its leg chaotically flailed out and struck Bior in the chest, rupturing the mushroom in his pocket and dispersing a thick cloud of blue dust. Interestingly, the dust seemed to interfere with the hive tender's ability to see or locate its prey. Unable to sense its surroundings, it was soon killed. Our heroes make note of this effect of the mushroom spores on the hive insects. Finally, Gilly reveals that although he was pursued by the drones into the cave, the entire hive was riled considerably the moment he discovered and removed a large chunk of amber from one of the hive caves. The drones seemed to produce it as a resource and defend it doggedly. The party now must decide how to safely escape Salt Rock Hives and get to Duskin's Cove. And now we will continue with the party in the cave.
But if those bugs come tracking us, you better throw the amber.
All right, deal. Fair enough.
All right. We are not equipped to do some sort of weird expedition into xenobiology, and I want to get to town.
All right, so let's try and cover up the amber and then best speed out of here. I don't think we need to go further into the cave. Can we just backtrack out the way we came?
Yes, you absolutely could.
Do I need to do another survival to kind of get our bearings, or are we good to go?
I think you're good to go. And as you guys turn to leave, all of a sudden, Tyrus, who has been, you know, quiet in the conversation so far, suddenly doubles over in apparently extreme pain, grabbing his rather large forehead, as if he's trying to, something's obviously hurting him terribly, as if he's trying to resist something. And all of a sudden, in the corner of the chamber, you start to hear kind of really a loud rumbling. And then
probably go faster.
And then as you do that, you all of a sudden you see a bunch of the drones appear at the mouth of the cave again. However, they are not engaging. They are merely standing there, you know, attempting to block the entrance.
Give them the amber, I say as I move over, and I'm going to try to get Tyrus, get him kind of in like a fireman's hold to kind of get him up, get his arm around my shoulder and kind of lift him.
And as you approach him, he suddenly looks upward at you, and his eyes seem very vacant, and through his mouth, you hear a different voice.
Why have you come?
I'm going to look around like I'm freaking
here
out.
To rescue that's awesome. Our friend here.
As you hear this voice, the rumbling from the back of the chamber becomes apparent as a very large, what to you guys would be roughly 15 foot tall and wide, massive insect creature kind of comes out.
It's the brain bug.
Judging
it's
by
a
the
brain
voice,
bug.
There's no such thing as a brain bug.
That is clearly a brain bug.
And you would assume it is the queen. She actually is not in any kind of threatening pose so far. As you look at her, she is covered by a series of arms, you know, six arms total across the side, not counting her legs. She has all of these sort of pulsating sacs along her ventral surface. And she has no eyes that you can see, just a series of antenna. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm going to kind of like lift my arms in a non-threatening manner. I'm going to hold my gun off to the side, like clearly non-threatening manner as best I can do. I'm going to avoid direct eye contact because I read in a magazine somewhere you're supposed to do. I'm going to be like, hey, sorry.
She has no
eyes.
Didn't
mean to disrupt your... Okay, cool. That's creepy. We didn't mean to disrupt your nest. We didn't know you guys were sentient creatures. We were just heading to town. We heard some shots. Our friend here is wounded. We'll just get out of your way and we'll give you back your things. And I'm looking at whoever has the amber hunk.
So Tyrus, who obviously is no longer resisting what is happening to him, you see a little bit of blood running out of his ear, a small droplet.
Looking concerned over there.
As he
Who's medically
stands,
trained?
He merely Sorry. Stands and turns to you guys and is calm and poised and vacant in his expression. And it appears that someone is speaking through him.
Why have you come to my hive?
We didn't mean to disrupt your nest. We're just trying to get back to town.
Yeah, I would tell
like
her
a diplomacy or something to get us out of this situation.
I think I have negotiation skills. I would tell her we come in peace just to rescue a friend.
Yeah, give her amber back.
Yeah, I'll offer the amber out. I'm gonna lift my arm out and just just kind of offer the amber up with my arm.
She makes no move to do anything at the moment. You hear Tyrus's mouth continue to move.
I've used the large-minded one to address you since he is so fond of invading the minds of my children. Where are you from?
I'm going to say, we're from space. We're from another planet. We crashed. I'm going to do like a crude, poor hand gesture thing. We're just trying to get to town with the other creatures like us.
Do you know what it is that you hold?
No clue. Give it back.
Give it back.
What did she ask?
Do you know what it is that you hold?
I would tell her we do not know what it is. We do not know what we hold, but we will give it back if that's what you want.
I would rather feed my children.
So it sounds like it's a food for her children.
Not my interpretation. Is there an exit that's obvious? That maybe is not guarded?
Well, it appears there are there's a few ways further into the cave, and there is an exit. You're standing very close to it. There's just a few groups of the drones there, and they're not making any hostile moves. They're just sort of standing guard.
Can we attempt diplomacy or
escape
charm before we have to end up blasting our way out?
Sure. I mean, you could absolutely attempt to.
Again, I'm going to just calmly say we don't want to cause any more trouble than we've already had. We clearly interrupted your nest. We're willing to give you back your item. We didn't realize you were sentient. We're just trying to head to town. We understand that we invaded your territory, but we would like to leave without further incident. And I guess I'll try
all
charm.
All of a sudden, yeah, go ahead and roll a charm check. She is what you refer to as, I'll explain that in just a second. She is what you call a nemesis. So in the Star Wars game system, there are minions that are minor enemies, like the drones you were fighting. There are rivals, which were like the Hive Tenders. And then there's a nemesis. And
like Mama Bear after you killed a bunch of her babies and stole her stuff.
Yes. The reason I bring that up is they often have a talent called Adversary. And it requires you to upgrade the normal difficulty of any check against them.
And that was okay, terrible, so I guess we're shooting.
Well, she looks at you guys and says, of course, through Tyrus,
"You have stolen our mind food. It is what we feed our young so they connect with the Hive. You have killed my children. And now I would like them to feed upon you."
That's not going to happen. The nice thing about holding your gun off innocently to the side is it's already in your hand. So I guess we're starting combat.
Well, the choice is do we go after the queen or do we go for the exit?
My vote's for the exit.
Attempt to. You see Gilly Jensa making direct eye contact with you in a very obvious way. And he starts tapping his front vest pocket, which in the case of Bayor was where he kept the mushrooms.
Use it
the
like
mushroom vest? If he throws it, I'll shoot it.
The question is, can we use the mushroom on the queen?
That's the idea, right? Like, because Tyson's mind controlled right now, so the dust might break the controls if we dust the queen. So who's got mushrooms on them?
I do.
Okay, Grant, I'm giving you a look to wherever. Didn't you just have it? You're rubbing it on the amber.
I rubbed mine on.
So it's out in your hand, right? Because you're rubbing it on the hand. I'm gonna intentionally look at him, and then look towards the queen in like a subtle glance. If I can get away, how would I do that? To do that nonchalantly.
You're trying to pass off the.
Yeah, I'm just going to kind of like give him a quick look and look towards the queen. And basically, I'm hoping he'll throw it and I can blast it, or somebody can blast it, or do something to disperse it.
So we can make a makeshift. Do that, if you're trying to do something without someone else noticing, that would be like skullduggery.
I suck at that, but I can try.
Yeah, think of it like sleight of hand, basically.
I'd like to take a force leap and take my mushroom and stick it right on the queen's head.
So I think we're probably going to need to roll initiative. But I will roll my skullduggery against how many purple dice?
Actually, it's really just one purple dice, but you have to upgrade it once for her adversary talent.
Hey! Okay, so, I managed to pull off the subtle innuendo.
You succeed. Now describe for us exactly what you do with your attempt to kind of use your sleight of hand to hide this from him.
I'm basically just kind of like continuing with the arms up, kind of like passive, turning in a slow look. We're not harmful. We don't want to kill you. We don't want to hurt anybody. Why don't you just let us leave? Kind of thing. But when I'm kind of like a little bit showing her back, I'm looking at whose character has the mushroom out? Sorry, I don't recognize you guys' voices yet.
Oh, I do. Kai.
Hi. So I'm kind of looking at Kai's mushroom, and I'm kind of giving him like I wish we were sitting at the same table so I could actually show you the gesture, but I'm basically like just kind of cutting my eyes very quickly, like through it, you know? And I'll probably mouth that to you behind Tychus's and her back.
I have a blaster if you mean to blast it.
I've got a blaster in my hand, so.
Okay. So I'll just toss it out. I listen to you. I think that's a great idea.
And so far, I've been rolling crazy well with it, so I assume I'm an ace shot at this point.
Now, are you throwing it towards the queen and then shooting it near her, or are you throwing it over you guys and then shooting it over you guys?
I kind of just like lob it in kind of the middle, like a high lob, and just kind of light tosses are right up and in between us, between where the battle would be if we were fighting.
My plan is to try to send like a dispersal stray in her radius and in the very least get Tyrus so that we can get him the heck out of here. Because I'm feeling he's not going to get willing.
Kind of like lob between her, the queen and Tyrus.
So as you toss it up in the air, Jensa, go ahead and make a light blaster check. Just one purple dice difficulty because you're short range to it.
She's gonna bump.
So, unfortunately, you.
I have no idea what that means.
Well, what it means is you miss the shot. You the mushroom.
Can I
falls
call
around.
On the force to save me?
Can I take a shot at it?
Yeah, please.
You absolutely can. Yeah.
Just slowly in slow-mo floating through the air.
No, all right, let me take a
the
shot.
The first time I've missed. Like, I've made all these crazy shots in this game so far. This would be the one I missed.
Do I have to... How many red buttons do I have to click? Any to shoot the thing? Or is this not a nemesis issue?
I'd like you actually to do... if we're going to handle this, that you notice that she missed, then we're going to try and act immediately. Go ahead and just roll a vigilance check for me with two purple dice to represent you noticing she was about to fail that and then trying to immediately act.
Mm.
All right, so you are going to you're going to be able to act quickly enough to take a shot. You're just going to have to add one setback dice to represent the fact you're reacting you know, in the heat of the moment. So yep.
How many purple dice?
So basically, it's still one purple dice, just add one black dice to it. And you don't have to worry about upgrading anything. All right. You I'm going to say that since you're rolling basically an advantage on that, that you managed to hit the mushroom still while it's in the midair, but since you're firing second after she missed, it's a little further away from you guys. When you hit it, there's an immediate plume of all of this blue spore dust, and it basically only... it's only close enough to really hit Tyrus and Nobi and Jensa. And the immediate effect after doing this is... sort of, you get all of the insects kind of start chittering again, and they begin to, you know, kind of position themselves, looking around as if all of a sudden, you know, three of you are kind of vanished to them. Immediately, as you do that, the queen or the hive mother, she kind of roars out in fury.
I'd like to do a force jump in front of the queen and take my mushroom and stick it right in her head.
I love it.
Treacherous dogs,
she says. All right, so if you're going to do force jump, then are we... I'm going to go ahead and basically say we're going to roll initiative at this point. And the first actor is going to be... one of the drones closest to you guys. The drone moves forward towards Victor. He passes right by the kind of obtunded Tyrus, who's still just standing there with a vacant look on his face, serving as the mouthpiece for the queen there. And it's going to make just a direct attack against you, Victor. Keep in mind, this is a group of three that are clustered together. And they're using their mandibles and claws. All right, so actually they fail the attack, but since they kind of charged you and caught you off guard, your next attack roll is going to suffer from a setback dice.
Ah.
So that they have acted. Tyrus is stuporous at the moment, so he will not be acting. But you guys get to decide when it's a player's slot who acts, so it doesn't have to be Tyrus. Which one of you would like to take that initiative slot to act?
Did I take my mushroom and
roll?
I
can do it. Or somebody else, if they have something
yeah,
else.
I mean, seemingly, the three of you guys that were up front, they don't seem to be aware of you. So they kind of just walked right next to you, didn't even pay attention to you, and went straight for Victor.
We gotta take down the queen.
Where are we all standing in relation to each other?
Yeah, can we get
pull up your battle maps. You guys should have them there. It should be in your images tab.
There it is. Okay.
So Nobi, it's your move.
I'll force jump in front of the queen and try my mushroom attack.
Okay, to use your force jump ability, you will be rolling a force dice, one of those little white force dice. So go ahead and roll that. Just one white dice. All right. So you succeed completely, actually. And you launch yourself through the air, horizontally, all the way up to and adjacent to the queen. As you land on the ground, this so at the current level of force sleep as you have it, that counts as your action. So now you have a maneuver or another movement you could do.
I want to take my mushroom and rub it on her head.
Okay, that you'll have to wait to do that next turn because your force sleep was your action, so you have another movement. Force sleep gets better when you upgrade it, when you can start using it as just a movement action. But
gotcha.
That will then bring us to the hive tender. She is actually kind of scanning this, surveying the area. She can't quite see Akai very well because he's kind of obstructed by the cave mouth. She basically can easily see Victor and Bayor, and she tries to line up a shot with her spine attack. So she spins herself around and points her dorsal spine there, launches it straight across to Victor. She is doing this intimately, though.
Spinity shot.
So she is going to be suffering a setback dice for trying to shoot into melee combat. All right, so she succeeds in striking you with the spine. However, basically she didn't roll any advantages, so she's not able to activate her toxin. So you're not poisoned by it, but you do take 6 damage, which when we count your wounds... You took 3 wounds from that. Yeah.
Ah! Ouch!
So she's trying to poison you. She got stabbed in the shoulder with it, but it kind of passed straight on through, and you weren't poisoned by it.
Real and quick, does Tyrus still seem like eyes glazed?
Eyes glazed, just standing there, mouth open, not doing anything. Next, the queen right. goes.
And, let me know it's my turn.
Okay. It will be a player turn after this. So the queen then turns. She doesn't seem to react to Nobi jumping in front of her. She says to you guys,
"Stop this madness, or I will kill him."
And when all of a sudden you see Tyrus kind of double over, falling to his knees, grasping his head, and for reasons that are not quite clear to you at the moment, he takes 4 strain.
Yikes, man!
That is all she does?
Is Tyrus in the blue?
I'm totally
round?
Gonna tell Scott on you. Scott, you missed game and Albie abused your character all night long. It's horrible.
Yeah, that's what happens when you miss.
Just open the wine, Tyrus.
Alright, so yeah, who's going next?
I wanna go for the queen.
I wanna go for Tyrus.
Alright, you guys decide between you who's going to act, and then tell me.
Well, okay. I figure if we could just get rid of the queen or distract her in some way...
Yeah, you go and I'll go after you. Does that sound okay?
Alright. So
if you don't distract her, I'll knock his ass out and drag him out of here.
Go for the queen!
Right. So, I try to get to the queen and attack her.
All right, so at your current distance, you're now at medium range, so basically you'll be using your action as 2 movements to get up to her. So you can move your token right next to her where you'd like to be.
Is that move possible?
That move is possible, yes. You are now in position. You've used your action and your maneuver to move basically 2 range bands up next to her. At the second you get next to her, you can see her antenna kind of wildly flittering in the air as she kind of turns to face you. And now, Jensa, it is you.
Jensa, take the queen out.
Hey, this thing is too big for me to force move it, right?
Hell yes. This is a Silhouette 3. This is like a giant sword. I mean, it's like 15 feet tall.
Jensa, take the queen out.
All right, let's jump forward to Victor, are you there?
Yep. So I'm in the middle of like going to reach out to Tyrus, maybe trying to drag him out there. And then as I'm reaching out, a Spinity lands into my shoulder. I scream in pain and I just react by shooting at what hit me. What the penalties are for being in melee and shooting at something that's not in melee, so you're gonna have to educate me on that. Plus, I have a setback dice.
It would be two difficulty dice. So you're gonna roll your ranged light, you're gonna put two purple dice and one black dice, one setback dice, and that'll be it.
Boom goes the dynamite. I just straight up fail.
You lift, you fire, you just barely miss as it goes sailing out the cave entrance. You have a maneuver if you'd like to use it, or you're going to stay put?
Yeah, my maneuver is essentially I'm going to tell Tyrus that he's got to snap out of it because we got to move. And I don't know if I get like a roll that I could use to maybe assist him in breaking the mental, you know, communication. If not, I mean, that's all I'm doing. I'm just trying to get him to snap out of it while firing at the hive tender.
He does not seem to react anymore. He is kind of slumped over, kind of kneeling forward. Now, almost as if he just sinks with his face in the sand, kind of slumps over.
Does he have a mushroom? Do I know if he has a mushroom? Do I see a mushroom?
He does. You actually each took one, all of you.
Okay. I didn't think that I took one. I'm pretty sure I said I was not taking one, but I'll take his out if I can with my maneuver.
Yeah, you can actually remove it from his pack with your maneuver.
Okay.
And that will bring us to Akai. You're short range from your party members just near the cave entrance, and you're a medium range away from Nobi and Bayor, who are right up in the face of the queen.
Okay, I'm going to try and clear an exit, because I'm not 100% sure we can take this giant queen, so... my goal is really kind of to escape, so I'm going to try and help out the people near the entrance.
Okay.
So I'll just take a shot at the drones, if that's possible.
I'll assume you probably will move so you could see and take a shot at the group that are attacking Victor. Would that be correct?
Yeah, the short range, if that is possible.
Okay, so you miss. However, you did roll an advantage, so you can either take a bonus on your next roll, or you can give that bonus to a teammate.
I'll give it to a teammate.
All right, so the next person to act will be Nobi. So Nobi, the next time...
Yeah, I'll give it to Nobi. Yeah, definitely.
You get a boost dice.
Okay, so I'm going to take my mushroom and rub it right over the head of the queen.
Okay, we'll do that in just a second. We still have two more drones to act. One of them is going to Akai. Making a mandible attack there. And it succeeds, and actually, as it bites, he rolled a triumph. So actually, as he bites you, Akai sinks his mandibles right into your shoulder, throws you off balance, and you fall prone, sort of backwards into the sand. And you take 3 wounds from the attack.
Well, that's not good.
You have 15, so you're not, you know, you're not in immediate danger.
Not dead. Biggest injury is sustained thus far.
And then the last drone, actually, that's over near the queen, he scampers forward, literally brushes right past you, Nobi, and tries to flank Bayor and attack him from the back. And it turns to swing his tail. And it completely misses.
That's right.
That will bring us back to you, Nobi.
I still haven't gone.
Oh, yes, you stepped out. So you go ahead and... Why don't you go first, and then we'll let let Nobi go after that.
Is Tyrus still all googly-eyed?
He is not. He actually, when the queen basically threatened you guys, saying that if you didn't desist, she would harm him, she did something to him. He doubled over in pain and is now unconscious.
Hit the queen!
Okay, so the... I'm going to move to him, just to be by him. What is my range increment from the queen?
You are currently... you're basically at medium range now. If you're taking a ranged attack, that's average difficulty.
That's fine,
you
so. And there's a bug right here.
There is. It attacked Victor.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot it. As I'm moving up to Tyrus, I'm going to go ahead and shoot it. And the next round, I'll focus on the queen.
Okay, you're taking a... So go ahead and roll your ranged light with two purple dice, since you're in melee with him at the moment. Very good. So, tell us about your attack as it succeeded.
I'm just lifting my gun, pointing it at the thing as I purposefully stride over to Tyrus and firing.
Your volley of shots takes down two out of the group of three. One out of the group of three, and the second is severely wounded. That brings us to Nobi.
Basically just like straight firing at, you know, purposefully aimed as I'm striding towards Tyrus.
Nice hit, Jensa.
Thank you.
So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna take all my mushroom and rub it all over the queen's head.
Now she is 15 feet tall here, so kind of describe how you're doing this.
I'm gonna leap up, which I can, and just rub it right over her head, and jump onto the other side.
Let's do this. Roll an athletics check for me as part of that.
Athletics. All right.
Don't forget his
athletics. Yeah, so roll your athletics check with two purple dice and a blue dice.
Oh no.
All right. So as
terrible
you try dunk and leap, as you try and jump over, she just happens to move herself out of the way and you kind of sail right by her to the other side of her. I'm going to move. You did not actually sustain any damage in it. You land gracefully and turn back around. But you are not able to kind of get up to her head. We will say now that the Hive Tender is going to take another shot at Victor with the spines.
But, Albie, before you go ahead, I rolled the wrong die. I had two green die in there, which shouldn't be in there.
They should, actually, because when you roll an athletics check, your athletics skill, like the way these checks work, you have three brawn. That means you get three green dice automatically for the check, and one skill point in athletics. So one of those three green dice is upgraded to a yellow one, which has a lot more power to it. So that's kind of how a skill check works in this game. So it was correct, actually.
You got it.
She launches a spine at Victor, and although, again, she succeeds in kind of hitting him with it, she's not able to deliver her poison attack.
That's good. That's real good. Positive.
So Victor has 7 out of 12 wounds right now.
Going down fast.
At this point, you will see Gilly kind of run over and pull out one of the mushrooms that Gran had and smash it right all over Victor's vest. So he's just covered in blue dust right now. And whatever's left he has in his hand, he kind of mashes on himself as well. So the queen now goes again. This time she's going to turn to Bior, who is at the moment the only one that she can really see. And she sort of her two lower arms on each side kind of come out, and she has these razor sharp long talons on them, and she like launches forward and attempts to rake you with them.
Ow!
All right, so she scores a just direct hit across your chest. They rip right through the front of your armor, you know, your padding, your armor. You're bleeding from some chest wounds, and it throws you off guard so much that on your next action, you will have to have one setback dice. And you have 7 wounds total at the moment out of 14. Fire, it is now your turn.
Is there any way that I can get the little bug and force throw it into the giant bug?
You absolutely could, actually. Remember, there are 3 of them, and so basically you'll be force throwing one of the group towards the queen. So roll a force dice. I'm going to tell you that that won't succeed, so you don't even bother having to use a dark side pip, but since you only rolled 1 pip on it, you can only move something small. For you to try and move something larger, you have to at least have 2 pips to do so. So you try and, you know, pull it, you can't sort of maneuver it, you kind of give up frustrated. You do have a movement if you'd like to take it. Or if you want to take something out, you can use it to take something out.
Is there a way that I can, like, get ready to parry or something?
Actually, I think you're correct. There is a... Let's see, maneuvers. Guarded stance. You can use your maneuver, and you will add a black dice to any checks made against you the next turn. So you can think of it like getting in a defensive position.
All right, I do that.
All right. So you see Bayar kind of in a very samurai-like way, kind of like lean back and take a defensive posture to intercept whatever comes towards him. And Jensa, it is now your turn.
All right, how many bugs are still over here blocking our way out?
So in front of you, there's all 2 of the group of 3 still there. There's another 3 in front of Akai. There's another 3 in front of Bayor, and the queen in front of Novi. And the high center at the door. So you are fairly surrounded.
I'm not having to worry about provoking, correct?
Correct. The way it works in this game is you don't provoke an opportunity attack, but in order to move away from someone you're engaged with, you just spend your maneuver and you only go 1 range band away from it.
All right, I'm just going to fire at the queen from here then.
Okay, go ahead. It's 2 purple dice, and you have to upgrade it once because of her adversary talent. All right, so actually, you do score a hit as she roars out in pain. She has enormously thick sort of chitinous plating. So despite getting that direct hit and, you know, doing what looked like significant damage, it really kind of didn't seem to have the effect you anticipated. It kind of charred the plating on the front of her, but didn't really break through very much.
Yikes.
At this point, Gilly turns to you guys and said, I think we are outclassed. We need to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I've been saying we should just try and make our escape the earliest possible opportunity.
Victor, it is now your turn.
I'm going to try and pick up Tyrus with my one good arm, seeing as I have spines coming out of the other side of my body. Am I able to, like, lift him on his feet, or at least over my shoulder so I can move with him?
I will aid him and or provide cover as I can.
Great. So you're just making an athletics check with one purple dice. He's kind of a light fella. And you can add a blue one because she's helping you. All right,
Superman,
totally
that shit
you
up.
You haul his ass right over your shoulder, throw him right over, firemen's carry him out of there. You have him on you now. So that was your action. You're free to make a maneuver to move away.
Okay. Did we identify a way out of here?
You are standing right next to it, the cave mouth
okay.
there.
I'm going to try and hustle past these fucking bugs since they can't see me. Take Tyrus with me, with Jensa, so all three of us kind of moving together. Because I'm wounded, he's unconscious, and I'll need her help. But I'm going to start heading out.
Alright, so you and Tyrus will move just outside of the melee range of that one because of how movement works. So you managed to pull him over there. That brings us to Akai. Akai, I know you can't see your surroundings at the moment, but you are about short range from the exit. The only problem is you have three of these drones right in front of you, and they are actively attacking you.
If it's all possible, I kind of want to maybe take a maybe move into a more defensive position and then take my shot, maybe from medium range. If I can maybe like back myself up to like the edge of the exit of the cave and then kind of hug one side of it and aim my shot.
Okay, so you're going to basically stand in position and attack, correct?
Yeah, but I would like, if there's any cover around that I can maybe take before I take a shot?
Given that they're immediately in front of you, you'd have to sort of spend your movement to get out of immediate range with them. So there's no real cover where you're at, no.
Okay, I think since I've sustained some damage already, I think I'm better off playing this defensively, so I'll kind of just try and get away from them.
Alright, so you will move, you'll spend your movement to get one range band away, so you're by the cave mouth. You have not acted yet, so you are free to take a second maneuver if you want to. In other words, you spent your maneuver, but you didn't spend an action, so you could just downgrade it to another maneuver if you want.
Okay, yeah. Is there anyone I can maybe, like, get next to? Kind of get someone
at the
back?
Moment, no. The closest people are short range away from you, which is several meters, so you're basically at the cave exit.
But Ali, he can force jump. Drew can force jump.
True, you could, but that would put you further in the cave and further engaged with the enemies where you just tried to move away from them towards the exit. But if that's what you want to do, tell me.
No, I'll just stay where I am for now.
Okay, by the way, Gilly, who has covered himself in the mushroom dust, also moves towards the exit, as does Gran.
Is there any way I can heal myself during battle, or no?
You can heal yourself, because you don't have the force ability to heal, I don't believe. You can use medicine to heal yourself, but probably after battle.
Yeah, no
okay,
worries.
Okay, so the drone mites turn. It's kind of looking around confused and not knowing what is quite around it. It actually moves past Jensa towards Bior. It spends two maneuvers to get next to him, as does the second group of drone mites. But they don't have any action left. And this brings us to Nobi.
You gotta kill this thing. Let me take out my, what's my battle? I don't have a saber. I'll take anything you have to battle on.
You have your war spear.
I'll take it.
All right, so you decide to stand and fight. So go ahead and make an attack roll. You'll be doing that with your melee skill on your skill page. It is 2 purple dice, and you have to upgrade it once. All right, so you rolled 2 red dice. So basically, I'm taking one of those away because you didn't need it. So you actually see success. You actually succeed with advantage. So your damage is going to be 5. Okay. So you actually take your spear. Now you did 5 damage as you hurl that spear right into the creature. You connect, but this chitinous plating that she has, she basically has 5 soak. So even though you scored a direct hit, you can't even penetrate the armor that she has. It just literally, your spear sort of sticks in there, and then she pulls herself back and the point comes out and she didn't actually suffer any damage.
That sucks.
The hive tender also moves in towards Bayor and Nobi because they cannot see the rest of you. And it is going to use its spine attack against Bayor. Okay, so actually, she does no damage to you, but as it grazes your shoulder, you feel this very bizarre burning sensation down your arm, and it quickly starts traveling to your chest. Bayor, I'd like you to make a resilience check with 3 purple dice, please. All right, so you succeed. You manage to kind of resist the effect of the poison, but she actually grazed you with it, and you kind of feel as if you're a little sickened and nauseated from it. It doesn't actually have any severe effect on you, but you'll have a disadvantage on your next action. That brings us to...
Let me know.
Bayor, it is now your turn.
My god.
Yeah.
Is there anyone?
You are utterly surrounded, so...
Albie, when's it my turn?
You're after Bayor.
Bayor, we're taking out the queen. We gotta take down the queen.
Dude, we're doing like 1 and 2 damage on this thing. That's not gonna work.
Yeah, this seems like a losing battle.
Is there
any
way that I can run?
The rest of your party.
Honestly,
to
I think we're kind of in the wrong here. Like, from a moral standpoint, it's a sentient creature. We broke into her house. We murdered a bunch of her kids. And she's rightfully pissed off at us, right?
Seems that way, yes. Bayor, to answer your question.
Can I run through these people?
If you were to try and escape as you are, you absolutely could. You could use 2 movements to get away. Basically use 1 movement to get out of melee range and then a 2nd movement to get towards the door.
Do that. I try to haul ass, dude.
Okay, so that brings
literally,
us to...
I just barrel through them and just run for the exit.
That's me, right?
Yeah. It's up to you now, Jensa.
Okay. Looking up in the cavern, is there any sort of stalagmites I could possibly fire at instead to give our last remaining friend some cover or distract the bugs long enough for him to get out of there? As I'm backing up.
Stalactites, I can't remember which is which.
Types are on the roof. Tight
hangs from the ceiling, might is mighty from the ground. Yeah, it was messed up. Anyway. yeah, As I'm basically backing up, I'm instead of firing at the bugs directly, I'm going to fire at the stalagmites from the ceiling and hopefully crash them down to give him some, like, distraction to run out.
All right, so go ahead. It's you're short. It's about 10 feet from the ceiling, so go ahead and fire at just one purple dice. Oh, nice. Okay, so you roll a triumph. So basically,
I collapse the entire ceiling, kill the queen. Woohoo!
Consider it a natural 20. Describe what happens when you fire at the stalactites in the roof.
So Jinsa kind of like really focuses on the area around the ceiling and seems to be like intently kind of like analyzing where the structure looks like it has a weak spot, and then begins to fire at the rooftop of the cave. And as she does so, the stalagmites on the ceiling, a whole clump of them just comes hurtling down to the ground. So the bugs jump out of the way and a large cloud of dust is kind of kicked up in the vicinity of the queen, hopefully giving her comrade a chance to escape.
Okay, yes, they are all acting at disadvantage the next turn. However, we have that now bringing us to Victor, who is by the door.
So, Gran and Gilly, they are both heading out or are out, correct?
They are right next to you, heading out the door, highly encouraging the rest of you to do the same.
Okay, I'm gonna call for Gobi to jump your ass back here. We gotta go. I'm gonna hold my action if I can.
All right, it normally would be a Kai's turn, but since you guys can exchange your place on the initiative, would you like to?
That's fine.
Pass it to Nobi?
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm good. Run, Nobi, Nobi, run!
You could either double move out of there, or you could try force jumping towards the door. Although
I'll double move out.
All right.
And my action is, when he gets close enough, I'm going to toss him the mushroom I had in my hand that I pulled out of Pyrus's bag so that he can coat himself.
I assume everybody's kind of taking the retreat stance at this point, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we'll assume then that you guys cover yourself in mushroom dust and make your way towards the exit.
As soon as I get up to Victor, I'm going to help him with Tyrus. But yeah, we're going to head straight to our mounts and get back to town.
Hey, thank you. While I'm bleeding all over the place.
Thanks.
Yeah,
I will take the lion's share of the lifting with Tyrus.
I got stung twice.
Bayer is our doctor, right?
Bayor and Akai both have medical skills, and Bayor has force heal ability.
Can somebody look at his arm? He's bleeding everywhere.
Kind of on the left side.
Well, I'm a bit injured right now, but I can maybe aid Bayor if he wants to take charge on this one.
Yeah,
well,
I take a look at his arm.
Unless he's as beat up as I am.
It's kind of moving.
Let's get a little distance out of there first. You guys run out of the cave, and as you do, you know, you see you're running out of the cave mouth at just top speed that you can manage, kind of lugging Tyrus and pulling yourselves out. You see all the drones and the hive tenders kind of like flittering in and out of the exits, just scratching around, crawling up and down the cliff face there. They're just sort of like you kicked a red ant pile, and they're just all kind of maneuvering everywhere. They're not really chasing you, though. Because they can't really detect you. And you hear clearly the howling sound of the queen as her frustration. With Tyrus unconscious, she cannot actually even communicate with you further at the moment.
Good!
You
We're
make
just
your way
gonna go.
Out of the cave.
So good, let's go.
And then I'm going to say that since your movement is safe, you make your way back to the speeder and to the mushroom cave that you started out in, where you will find your Viractyls there, and now you guys can attend to your wounds and such.
About time.
So I am at 7 down out of 12. So I'm very bloody.
Let's heal her.
Yeah.
Heal!
I help him up first.
Alright, Bayar, are you going to use your medicine skill or are you going to use your force heal?
No, I tend to get better luck with my force heal. So, I'll take a look at his arm and it's the arm that's messed up, right?
I have two of them in my side, yeah. I was hit twice.
So yeah, go ahead and roll a force dice for me. Would you like to use that result?
That's a good result, right?
Feel the dog.
Can I aid him in that or no?
It is a dark side pip that you'll be using to heal him.
Yes, heal him.
All right. Basically, so you know how it works, Bayor. One pip lets you heal equivalent hit points to your intellect, which is 2 at the moment. So you will heal 2 wounds. Victor, you can change that on your character sheet. So remove 2 wounds.
He's gone.
And then, Akai, you're free to use a medicine check.
Yeah, I'll do that. Obviously, I can't roll for myself, but I think Bio and I have the same stats. That is easy.
So
roll medicine?
Oh, here it is. Medicine mechanics. So if wounds are greater than wound threshold, half of wound threshold, which it is, it'll be 2 purple dice. And since he is aiding you, you can add a blue dice to it.
Well, it's now less than half.
Is it? Okay, then it's only 1 purple dice. So your medicine roll... I'll have to roll that for you because you're... Okay, give me 1 second. Your medicine... Okay, 1, so... Alright... I'm going to let you use those advantages as successes, so that would be another 3 wounds that you heal. Victor.
Looks tied up pretty good, Doc. Thanks. And then I slump down and take a nap.
You want to take a nap in the cave? All right, so your Viractyls are here.
I can handle 1 Viractyl. Who's the most hurt?
Currently, Bayor is pretty severely injured. He's at half his wound.
Yeah, can I heal myself?
Yeah, you can. You can apply medicine to yourself.
I was gonna say the healthiest people should be.
It is 2 additional difficulty dice added, so 2 extra purple dice to treat your own wounds. So it would be at a severe disadvantage. I'll just say that.
Well, I'm
given
injured
that you
too,
have
so
time,
Bayor and I can heal each other. If that's a possibility.
You guys have time, so I'll let you sit and kind of. Akai will say that you take a little rest and then you turn to attend to him. And I'll say that he aids you. So once again, here's what happens to you, Bayor. You are able to heal 4 of your wounds, but he rolled 2 threats, or I rolled it on his behalf. So you're going to take 2 strain, but heal 4 wounds. And what that really represents is just the stress of this medical treatment on your psyche. It's kind of wearing you down a little bit. Alright, so I think everybody's mostly stable. What would you like to do now?
Yeah, we just got our ass kicked.
There's no shame in running.
Well, I mean, if we have... I don't know if we should camp out and wait till it's day, or is it day?
It is late afternoon, so it is still day. And given your proximity in the hive, it is it would be a brave decision to spend another night there.
Right, so we should get moving.
All right, you guys load each other up onto the three Viractyls that are there. I would like a survival check from both Jensa and Nobi. Two purple dice, please. Okay, so you both succeed. So you guys actually are able to handle the Viractyl, ride yourself out now that the sandstorm is over. Instead of going, you know, up the northern pass where you found the cave and faced that queen, you actually just continue riding west out into the open sands again. So as you're kind of passing through the sugar sand waste, you have a pretty good weather. You manage to, by nightfall, make it in sight of a rise, sort of a collection of dunes on a rise. And as you crest the rise, you see before you a settlement. So as you kind of get to the top of this sort of ridge, you kind of make it there right at sunset, and you see this narrow path up the hill that kind of leads down into a clearing. And in an opening in the rock formation, you have a natural enclosure there. And within that natural enclosure is what looks to you almost to be like a starship graveyard. There's broken hulls of downed ships laying strewn about, kind of like hulking skeletons from times long forgotten. You see these large sections of broken ship hulls from various types of starships. You see pieces of a Mon Calamari cruiser, a large broken Candosi dreadnought, and it's towering in the distance like this shadowy spike kind of just sticking up into the sky. And very obviously before you, you also see this enormous shed, which was kind of constructed out of all the scrap metal, sitting off on the western side of the clearing. And emblazoned on it was a large green cross. So I'm gonna actually share an image with you.
Got it.
Yep. All
right.
I like the frowny face with the X's for eyes.
Yeah, there's like this sort of little tower station over there, and somebody's kind of painted on it with a little bit of a sense of humor. When you look up into the part of the night sky that's black, you're kind of seeing what you flew through in space that crashed you.
That stuff that crap that crashed us. So we're not alone in the crashing, it looks like.
Well, this settlement predated the accidental explosion in space of the passenger liner. It existed here before. It's just kind of been suddenly much more of a hustling, bustling place now that there's things here for looters and scavengers and pirates to kind of make good with. It used to kind of just be... That was the front hull section, and
my character's first words as she crests the dune and looks down over the settlement is, wow, this place is a real shithole.
Phew, we made it.
Yeah, Grant turns to you guys and he says, well, it isn't much to look at, I'll grant you that. But this little settlement here is pretty much the only corner of civilization on this sandy rock we've got. And this is all crashed ships here. We have over there pretty much the only medical facility on this entire moon.
So...
Yeah.
Question. Has the weird purple jelly in space been like a thing for a long time, or?
The explosion happened pretty much a day or two before you guys got there. So you went there because of...
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying because the ships are all crashed ships. Was there a reason there were a lot of wrecks here before?
They did predate that accident by a long time. You don't really know why they're here or what happened at this time, but there's just a lot of wreckage. And, you know, Grant explains to you, it's, you know, it's been a moon full of criminals and provides a steady stream of wounded to run a medical facility with, and it's pretty much how I started my business here.
I kind of awkwardly say. Like, no offense towards your settlement.
Oh, it's not my settlement. I'm just a businessman looking to make a buck here. This is a pirate moon. This has been a hiding place in havens for pirates that have kind of been preying on ships in the corporate sector. This has been this way for a few decades. It's just suddenly become a hot spot with everything going on here. After the crash of the Adhara Grey, it's literally been full to the brim with wounded people. Half of them, I'm sure, will be sold back to their families or used for extortion by the dominant pirate gangs here. And he'll also actually point out to you that that small, bubbly, gray thing, that Mon Calamari cruiser sort of piece that is crashed in the sand. You kind of see some cozy firelight through the porthole windows and a little chimney, crude chimney built into the roof. That over yonder is my small slice of home here. That is Hornaday's Black Box I've been telling you about. Pretty much the only place in this dusty rock a civilized individual can get essentials and supplies. You are all, of course, welcome and encouraged to pay a visit when you get settled.
I like it.
And then he points your attention kind of over to the right, where you see this, you know, crashed piece of a Dornian gunship. And the aft sections of the ship are kind of lost into the sands, but that sort of bridge section there was kind of opened up in the front. And above it, you see a bright neon sign glowing in the dusky light there, sort of broadcasting the name, the Buxom Bantha. And that there, my fine ladies and gentlemen, is the Buxom Bantha, a favorite watering hole here for all forms of pirates, cutthroats, and scavengers. The proprietor is a friend of mine, a Toydarian fellow named Hesh. He prides himself on providing whatever forms of entertainments one needs, though he does not suffer violence in his establishment, just a fair warning to you. I'll join you there for a drink before I head off to my shop to reopen after my absence. So he kind of parts ways with you for the moment.
You were talking about a medical facility. You don't happen to know a Dr. Benix, do you?
Dr. Benix doesn't ring a bell, but I'll tell you, there is a slovenly fellow there, a doctor, who has traditionally treated patients here, I guess. He's kind of a drunk, though. Mostly his droid does most of the medical care there. I mean, he's the surgeon, but most of the day-to-day wound treatment is this droid that takes care of that. But I don't know any Dr. Bendix or Bendrix.
Not really important, but thanks anyway.
Speaking of, you might want to take your tall friend over there for some help. He's still...
Yeah, I think that's probably where we're heading first, but are you sure you don't need any medical assistance?
Me? Myself? No, you guys fixed me up good, and I managed to keep myself out of some of the scrapes that you all got in that case.
And I'm sure that you will not be giving me a negative review when you review your flight with us.
Absolutely not. I have not seen fun piloting in some time. If it wasn't for you, we'd be dead for sure.
Good. Just making sure. Glad to see you home. You sure you don't need any medical assistance?
No, but I think you guys do.
Well, I think we'll be over to see you as soon as we're all feeling better. And I'm going to extend my hand and give him a wide smile.
He nods to you politely as he gestures to Gilly to join him, and the two of them kind of scuttle off down in the sand to head and open up their shop and get settled.
He does kind of do the little polite head salute thing.
Yeah, kind of tip the brim of your hat kind of thing.
Yep.
He does tell you if you want, he'll meet you for a drink in the Buxton Bantha in an hour or
two. That sounds great. But basically, as soon as he's out of earshot, and it's just like the people I know of, I've seen been using force powers like crazy, I'm going to turn around and go, what the heck are you people doing? Don't you know there's an entire empire out there of people that want to kill you guys?
Does anybody react to that?
Well, my people care nothing for the empire. We don't hide from them.
Okay, well, the rest of the universe wants to kill you. So if you could tone it down just a little bit while we're in public, thank you. Seriously,
obviously,
how are you
Tyrus
alive?
Obviously, doesn't say anything, but... What about Victor? You have anything to say to that?
I mean, I haven't used my force powers, so I'm assuming she's not talking about me.
No.
But I will say,
more sleeping around.
I don't even know if this is private enough for that conversation, but I could use a drink.
You know what? Let's get Tyrus some medical treatment. Let's make that priority number one. And I'm just gonna turn around and start dragging Tyrus towards the facility.
All right. So what I might say actually is, why don't we say this is a good time to call it for the night? And when we reconvene, we will bring your wounded to the medical pavilion there and carry on from there. One more thing, how could I forget? Before Gilly left, he managed to activate the data pad that he gave that you guys found on his speeder. I'm not sure if you recall, but during the search of the speeder, you found a data pad that you couldn't seem to activate. He will have that to give you next time we play. So remind me to start off with that.
Does anybody have to roll this time for their morality or whatever it was?
No,
somebody
actually
used the dark
not.
Side.
Yeah. Did okay. you?
No, whoever healed me.
Bayor did. Yeah, that's right. Okay, Bayor, roll a d10 for me. It's that little fuchsia one on the bottom roller dice.
Not that one.
All right, you rolled a 5. You only had one conflict, so actually, you are your morality increases by 1 towards the light side. So you faced an inner conflict and came out ahead. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for another installment of A Candle of the Night. We will be reconvening in 2 weeks, so look for our next episode around that time on iTunes or wherever your favorite podcast distribution site is. Before we go, I would actually like to give a shout out to the kind individuals who left us 5-star reviews on iTunes. We'd like to thank Cheryl C11, Victor Boga, Kirk J101, and your SX Cord. Thank you all. Please feel free to leave us a review if you like the show. We very much appreciate it. We will see you in a couple weeks. Have a great night.